I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we hear from a former basketball player about how he got a new attitude after a devastating injury. It's part of NPR's This I Believe series. And that hot song behind the Pineapple Express trailer, we've got the backstory. It's a new feature called Have You Heard About This? But first, we have a refreshing pause. Throughout the summer, we've been bringing you our Summer Sipping Series, where we sample beverages to cool us off in the heat. Previously, we tried some microbrews, that's specialty beers, and some fancy rums. Today, though, we're doing tea. For this tasting, we ventured into Teaism. It's a tea house in Washington, D.C., where we met with co-owner Michelle Brown.
Our tea house was designed, you know, to bring tea to America, really. And we felt that Americans sort of needed to be hit over the head with the notion that tea comes from Asia, largely. So we have an Asian-inspired menu.
And is tea just the leaf, or
yes, tea comes from one plant, the Camellia sinensis. And Americans also are confused about that because herbals are packaged and called tea. But they're really herbal infusions or fruit infusions. They have no tea leaf, meaning leaf from the plant Camellia sinensis.
But when we hear things like black tea or oolong tea or green tea, and I also hear there's something called white tea now, are those teas?
They're all teas and they're all from the same plant. It's that the leaf, after being plucked, is processed in a different fashion.
So where does most tea come from?
Most tea comes from India, China, Japan, Sri Lanka. It has beautiful tea, Kenya. And now we're even seeing tea from Bolivia, which is what I am super excited about for today. And I've iced some for you. Tea is wonderful because drinking tea is an ancient tradition. And to see beautiful, exquisite leaf coming out of Bolivia is really kind of an exciting thing. And it's through the help of USAID that they've actually been able to develop this estate. And they've been producing now for over a year. And it's really exquisite tea. I'm just so very impressed, you know. Well, I've iced some of the Bolivian green tea for you. I have it here without any sugar.
All right.
And then I have it here with a half a teaspoon of sugar.
And what am I looking for? Other than pure refreshment. Is there any particular quality I'm looking for?
I think you'll find a nice astringent finish that is very cleansing to the palate and refreshing.
Okay. Mmm, that's nice. It tastes a little smoky. Oh, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a sweet girl, so I'm going to move right over here to the sweetened one.
A little bit of sugar goes a long way.
Now, I know you're going to rock somebody's world here, but loose versus bagged tea. Is there an opinion here?
Well, yes, there is an opinion because here at Teaism we sell only loose leaf tea. There's something that often goes into a tea bag. It's called dust and fannings. Sort of the bottom of the tea chest, you know, it's kind of what falls out. So it's always the worst stuff. It's also something that's mass produced, so they want to have high volume and they want to sell this stuff all over.
You know what I think a lot of people are wondering is how do you know how long to brew a tea, or is this solely a matter of taste?
It is a matter of taste and practice, really. And, you know, so you need to decide how you like it. If you overbrew, you can always add a little more water to dilute.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, now you've got this really interesting green one here.
Okay.
This is, what is that?
This is what we call Japanese sweet green tea. It is very sweet and very green, and kids love the color of it. It's this deep, deep olive, crazy green. What? You're ingesting the tea itself. Mm-hmm. So it's made from matcha, which is the tea that's used in the Japanese tea ceremony, that's ground down to a powder. And in the tea ceremony, it's actually whipped and suspended in the water So here it's also suspended in the water, but there's a lot of sugar in it. So it's very popular in Japan.
Oh, is it? I was going to ask if you have Japanese customers who come in and see this ice and they go, oh, no, no,
yeah, no. No. It's a real Japanese thing.
Is there caffeine in this?
A little bit. A little bit of caffeine in green teas.
Are there health properties to tea, or is that a myth that we just promulgate because we want to drink it?
Well, definitely there are health benefits. It's chock full of antioxidants, and I think if you drink tea, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 times a day, you're definitely going to be fending off, you know, some of the issues, the health issues.
But are you going to be spinning close to the ceiling like you would be if you drank 4 or 5 cups
not.
Of coffee?
Absolutely not. A black tea, which is the highest in caffeine, has 50% the amount of caffeine in it in a cup of coffee. So you're already backed off by 50%.
Now I see something that really looks like me, that looks like a milkshake.
Okay.
What is that?
This is bubble tea, sometimes called boba. We call it the zenzu.
Where does it come from?
It's from Taiwan. Popular, fun beverage. We serve it in its classical form. So there are these gelatinous tapioca pearls in the bottom. You get a big fat straw so that you can suck up the candy as you're enjoying the tea. And we brew a very, very rich black tea, Ceylon tea. We brew it really, really strong in water, add some sugar, add a little half and half to finish it off. And I think it's really good.
Yes, this,
and
this
one
like
carries some caffeine. This is the one that, you know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I say, I gotta have some.
This is great.
Isn't that fun?
This is like chocolate milk for grown-ups.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me for chewing and making yummy sounds, sorry.
Aren't they fun?
This is really good. But
yes, they are good. Very, very good.
I know a lot of people are into chai tea now. Mm-hmm. So is there a, is that really tea?
It is tea. It's a black tea that's spiced. We cook it with milk and sugar. Oh. We serve it in a more classical form. A lot of places use concentrates and whatever, but we actually boil the tea leaf, boil the spices with sugar, boil the milk, strain it. When we have Indian visitors, they always appreciate it. They always get that, you know, we put the effort into it and it's
the real
better
stuff.
Than it's the real stuff. Yeah.
When you say boiling, how about the whole microwave? Am I just microwave?
Please, no.
I'm just getting like all kinds of tea demerits here.
Yeah. I think that the microwave
I'm very ashamed. But.
The microwave imparts flavor to the water. I just think there's something that you get off of the water that changes things.
But I'm thinking now that maybe that's partly why tea is relaxing, because the process of making it is pleasant. You get the aromas.
But isn't cooking,
you think that's
pleasant?
Part of it?
I love to cook.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's why. Maybe that's why it's sort of because there's something about the doing that makes it nice.
Yeah, it is part of
it's
the process. It's the ritual. I mean, and that's why you can enjoy exquisite tea in a paper cup if that's what you have, or, you know, a hand thrown pottery piece that's 100 years old, you know. It's the ritual that you want to make it in the moment, for you, in that moment. Whatever you want it to be, it can be that.
I'd like it if you came and made it for me.
I would love to.
Michelle Brown is the co-owner of Teaism. It's a tea house in Washington, D.C. There are 3. We are in the Penn Quarter location. Thank you so much for being a part of our summer sipping series.
Michelle, thank you so much.